and welcome to the live webinar, Reading the Future, Digital Magazines, sponsored by Zinio and powered by the Target Marketing Group. I'm Drew James, Associate Publisher with the Target Marketing Group, and I'd like to welcome you. Today, our experts will share their incredible insight on what the new generation of tablets and other digital reading devices means for today's publisher. They'll discuss how the new way of reading magazines and consuming information is impacting traditional magazine publishers and what is needed for magazine publishers to create content for digital reading devices. Before we get started, let me point out a few tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help button at the bottom of the console or let us know via the Ask a Question box. Second, make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can see and take part in any interactive portions of today's presentation. To get a PDF version of the slide presentation for future reference, click on the Download Slides button on the console. If you are enjoying this webinar and would like to spread the word to your peers, you can send an email invitation directly from the console by clicking the Invite a Colleague button. You can also give us your feedback at any time during the hour by clicking the Survey button. This survey will also be distributed at the end of today's webinar. As you know, today's speakers will be answering select questions live at the end of the presentation. Use the Ask a Question feature on the console to submit your questions for consideration in advance at any time. If you leave the presentation at any time, you can access the entire webinar on demand for the next 90 days via the same audience link you used to watch the presentation today. After that, the webinar can be viewed from the Book Business or Publishing Executive websites at the web address on your screen. Finally, we encourage you to tweet about this webinar today. Please use hashtag #PBWebinar when doing so. And now I'd like to introduce our speakers for today's webinar. Jeannie Mullen is the Global Chief Marketing Officer for Zinio, as well as the world's first all-digital lifestyle magazine for women, VivMag. Often referred to as a pioneer in the digital arena, she has been at the forefront of digital's largest contributions, including email marketing, mobile, and now digital publishing. We are also pleased to welcome Cheryl Goodman, Director of Publisher Relations at Qualcomm MEMS Technologies. Goodman is responsible for forging connections in the publishing industry and facilitating their engagement in the wireless ecosystem. Currently, one of Cheryl's chief directives is to secure content for Qualcomm MEMS Technologies' Mirasol display-enabled e-readers. In addition, Cheryl oversees global marketing and communications efforts for QMT, coordinating analysts and media relations across international markets and providing strategic input into market research and product development strategies. Jeannie, I'd now like to hand it over to you.
Thanks so much, Drew, and welcome to everybody for joining us today. Thank you so much. We're very much looking forward to sharing some thoughts and considerations with you as we walk through the future and reading the future as it pertains to each one of your collective businesses. As Drew said, please do feel free to submit any questions that you have throughout this presentation. Cheryl and I both love questions, and we love to hear what everybody's thinking. And I want to start out with a simple statement. Your readers are waiting. Cheryl and I took a look at the content for today and decided that was a great statement to start with because so many of us in today's society spend so much of our time waiting. If you stop and think about it, you've probably spent a few minutes waiting to join this webinar where you had a few minutes to check your email or do something else or even just wanted to make sure you were here on time and waited. The average state social worker wastes an average of 12 hours a month waiting for overbooked courtrooms. It's pretty crazy when you think about it. That's every single month. But if you're not a social worker, and many of us on this call are not, for each of us in general, we spend about 5 years waiting in lines, 4 years doing housework. Would probably rather be waiting instead of doing housework, 8 months opening junk mail and waiting for something of relevance to show up, and 6 months of our lives waiting at traffic lights. This is a tremendous amount of time that we spend waiting, and it's very interesting because with all this time waiting, as consumers, we're finding things to do to fill up our time. 10 years ago, spending some time waiting would have meant spending some time thinking or writing something down or drawing a picture on a napkin. But in today's digitally driven and mobile device-enabled world, the time we're spending waiting is now being filled with a tremendous opportunity to do something, something that is very exciting, something that is educational, something that is very entertaining. And what Cheryl and I are here today to talk to you about is how reading is filling the gap of waiting. And as more digital technologies and innovations come to market, less time of our lives will be spent waiting and more time will be spent engaging in items and elements we never thought we would ever spend time on. That's made possible through technology and mobile initiatives, and it's a perfect time for Cheryl to talk a little bit about what Qualcomm does and how they see the future in preparing this transformation of how we read and how we wait into something very different than what we know of it today. Cheryl?
Thank you, Jeannie. You're absolutely right, is that all of that time waiting is time that can be monetized, and content is certainly key to any mobile experience. And as we're waiting in line and as we're in lieu, we want to optimize the most of that time by staying connected to our devices, staying connected to our content. And the slide that you're looking at now really talks about who is Qualcomm and what is Qualcomm and what do we do? Well, Qualcomm is not a common consumer name, but it's a name that you should know because it's the name of the number one mobile chipset provider globally. And what does that mean to you? That means that every device connected has a brain, and that chipset is the brain of the device. And those devices and those chipsets are getting faster. They're becoming more robust. They're trying to live up to that downtime that we're experiencing by providing robust processing, providing displays that you can see outdoors. And that's why, really, I'm addressing this publisher audience. A digital content strategy for publishers is not a simple web connection or a simple connection. In order for that connection to have relevance and be appealing to the consumer, it really needs to be good, high-quality content that consumers want. And so the Qualcomm is making sure that we're providing that conduit, a very powerful chipset, to deliver that to the world's largest communication device platform in the history of mankind. That is the cell phone. And we're going to do that by way of rolling out an innovative new technology called Mirasol. It's a low-power color display that's video-enabled. It allows 3 to 5 times more power than standard devices using traditional LCD technologies. So this is certainly very good news for the publishers that the printed page, while good and steady, is the beginning of content that's going to live in a digital world where we're all connected, and that's thanks to the back end of Qualcomm's network and chipset integration.
Yeah, and that's really interesting, and both Cheryl and I speak very frequently at a number of conferences, and whenever we talk about the subject of digital publishing and digital reading, a lot of the attention tends to go today to the design aspects of the content, which are absolutely key, but something that a lot of people tend not to think about at this point in their digital publishing strategy is the distribution capabilities and the distribution footprint that companies like Qualcomm are developing down the road. And when we correlate, you know, what people are doing with all this time that they're spending waiting and the innovations that Qualcomm is coming up with and, you know, just the digital capabilities, it really starts to paint the foundation of a brand new picture, because what we're looking at through a study that both Qualcomm and Zinio did with Harrison Group is, you know, feedback from people who are saying what they're doing when they have time spent waiting. And what they're saying right now is only about 5% of people that took the survey a few months ago have a tablet, and 6% have an e-reader. So we're seeing a good small footprint of people who have time waiting that are now spending time reading. But in a year, we expect that number to 13% to acquire each. And in 2 to 3 years, then that is going to start to shift into more of a tablet-based readership than just an e-reader, meaning that people are spending their time not just reading, but also doing other capabilities and activities on these tablets. And while you look at the forecast and the forecast of how many tablets and devices and e-readers will be in market changes almost every day, it's pretty phenomenal to consider that, you know, over time, the world we live in is transforming from an idle time capability to an active, engaged idle time capability where people are going to be looking and valuing content that they traditionally may not have picked up before simply as a way to take time when they're standing there with nothing but a device. So, Cheryl, I think it's fascinating to look at, you know, the growth curve and the early adoption, and I know there's a great slide here talking about the e-reader and tablet market. It's perfect to bring up right now.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jeannie, because this is what we're really talking about is it may seem from a publisher's point of view that this opportunity is cooked, that the leaders that are in place today are going to be the leaders in place tomorrow, and I certainly don't believe that's the case. There are very good form factors that exist out there, many of which are enabled by Qualcomm chipsets, but it's really important to indicate that this is the beginning of a very huge opportunity, and if we could hit that advance button on the slide, we'll see that in 2007, what we're seeing is that tablets had really started there. And then shortly following, the e-readers hit in about 210, and we all know this. But we're really going to see that huge adoption curve take place right around 2013. And what I'm not saying is don't delay. I certainly don't do that. I mean, it's a day before the tax week, right? So if you've delayed there, don't use that as an indicator. Don't delay your strategy, but know that this is the dynamics are not fully cooked, and that digital strategies not only for e-readers and for tablets have to happen now, but really mobile devices where displays are going to get larger, and that readability is going to be central to the experience on that handset.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you talk about building your strategy for the future, and we're talking about the future of digital magazines, first, understanding that, you know, we're going to be reaching people who have traditionally been idle to engage them in our content is good to know. Second is that this is very, very, very early stages of adoption of digital reading devices is key. And, you know, I think as we go through this slide and you see all these bubbles pop in on where we expect to be even by 2013, it's phenomenal. And you're right about not waiting as far as your strategy goes. I think, you know, what we've been doing at Zinio is we've been playing the field. And while everybody seems to be finding phenomenal success in the iPad, Zinio included, we're also very aware that there's a large group of people who are still accessing digital content via their desktops. And as laptops become, you know, lighter, as battery life lasts longer, as more and more, airlines allow you to have internet when you're flying on them, desktops are still going to have a place, at least for the next few years. And as we transition into things like e-tablets and smartphones that will become the super phones with the even larger screens, and we look at very good initial results from 7-inch screens like the Nook and even the Samsung Galaxy Tab, it's very encouraging. So for anybody who's looking at what their digital footprint and strategy should be, we certainly are recommending that you look at it in three ways. You're meeting your immediate business objectives as far as what you want to share with your board, what you want to share with your investors and consumers regarding what steps you're taking in the digital front. A midterm strategy looking at what's coming down the road this year as it relates to all of these Android devices that are launching and some of the new innovations coming out, but certainly keeping an eye towards this very, very large growth market that's coming down the road in 2 to 3 years that are absolutely going to demand your full attention and a whole lot of learnings in between to figure out exactly where you need to be from a distribution, a device, and even a design standpoint in order to make things successful, whether that's just an aggregator, whether that's an aggregator there with an individual channel, whether it's a combination of both, whether it's multitudes of devices, whether those devices are just in the U.S. or whether those devices are global, you know, it's really kind of understanding exactly where you want to be 5 years from now and then building backwards from that. And, you know, Cheryl, there was this great slide that you put in about what people are saying are there leading reasons for wanting a tablet, and I find it fascinating because I look at my kids and I ask them if they agreed with the slide. So,
yeah, no, it is very interesting because what we're seeing is that pegging fairly high on the top of desires is really a reading, and folks are reading more, and this is really a reading revolution, and it, maybe at this point it doesn't seem like it because there's so much, I think the one consistency is a lack of consistency, or so it may seem, but that is not what this research is telling us. It's telling us that folks are reading, and they're reading more, and that the opportunity is huge, and the opportunity presents itself on a global scale to the tune that I've, you know, quoted before, 4 billion handsets that are out there without dedicated strategic content. And Jeannie's right when she mentioned earlier that sometimes we get tied up in details about formats and sizes, but this is really about scalable channels of opportunity. That's where the revenue comes from. That's where the readers are reading. That's the devices they're using, and we're aggregating those devices. I wish I could ask those that are on the call today, how many are carrying an iPad, a laptop, and a cell phone, and I would guess that you have probably all three of those or some type of tablet or alternate device. And I'll tell you that we really believe that these devices, while good, I don't know that everyone wants to carry three devices around. Maybe our chiropractor wants us to carry it around for repeat business, but I don't believe that that's really where this is going. Where this is going is that there is room for improvement on the devices that exist in the marketplace today in terms of efficiency on power, in terms of being able to see that full content, that full front cover of the magazine, poolside in the sun where we like to do a lot of our leisurely reading. So there are certainly content friendly technology solutions that the consumer is asking for and they want that don't exactly exist in the marketplace today. And that's where I think publishers should be thinking about those new opportunities that exist. Net, just because we're enthused with the space and we're excited about the space does not mean that there's not room for improvement and does not mean that there's total satisfaction. And I believe the publishers can help bridge that gap of satisfaction.
Yeah, and you know, I love the stat here. 42% say my tablet is more complicated to use than I expected because right after the holiday season, I was reading some research, and I can't remember who wrote it now, but it said that 87% of iPads that were given as holiday gifts to an elderly or aging parent, somebody that was categorized as being in their late 60s and on up, really had never even been exposed to iTunes before, and that they were finding it very challenging to figure out how to do anything on the iPad other than open up the photo gallery and look at photos of their grandkids and everything else, but look at Safari. So they were actually opening up a browser and typing in the types of items that they were expecting to see and interested in seeing from the iTunes store, not knowing that iTunes even existed. And those are things that a lot of times, you know, as people that are involved in the content and technology fields, we tend to take for granted. Of course, you know, if you have an iPad, you've been in iTunes, and of course, if you're 50 or younger, you grew up with, some aspect of iTunes, whether it was the iPod or something else coming into your life. But, you know, it is very interesting that this baby boomer market that we have are some of the most frequent users of high-tech technology, mainly because they have the time and because they're trying to stay connected with their families, yet they're probably the least exposed to a lot of these technical capabilities. And as we come out with new products and content, if our target audience is anywhere within that range, we oftentimes need to take a step back and look at a user experience that supports something related to digital reading experience that feels very much like it's simple and easy to use, that slowly introduces people to a lot of bells and whistles. And I know with Zinio specifically, and in some of the Harrison Group research that we did, we found one of the main requests from consumers, the general demographic, was that they could buy their content one time and have access to read it anywhere. And that's kind of the core component of the Zinio business model that we call Unity, which is the ability to buy your content once from in a digital format and read it on any device that you pick up, whether it's very soon the Android or the iPad or the iPhone or Windows 7 or a Mac or a desktop, and down the road, you know, in short order, TVs and workout equipment and even back of the seats on airlines. But it's pretty interesting. And when you think about it, when it comes to content, if you subscribe to a magazine like, Harper's Bazaar, and you frequently travel or you have a job and you frequently have to go to work, as many of us do, it's great to get Harper's Bazaar at your house, but wouldn't it be amazing if while you've got an extra 10 minutes while you're waiting, you could pull it up with something to look at, or at the doctor's office, you could actually pull up a magazine you wanted instead of, you know, having to deal with some of the magazines that are left in doctor office libraries. So, you know, the Unity approach is tending to prove very, very successful in all aspects of publishing, whether it's book content, whether it's newspaper content, whether it's, you know, movie content, or, you know, even magazine content, and something that we absolutely need to consider as being, a key driver for the future.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, Jeannie. And as we jump to the next slide, I want to highlight, I think I'm going to repeat myself a little bit here, but I can't reemphasize enough that more reading is continuing to increase. This is such a good thing for the publishing community, and the sensitivities that we have to, that a publisher needs to think about is how to get those that content to those devices in ways that are friendly to really networks and bandwidth, because at the end of the day, somebody has to pay for that connectivity, and we don't often see that, but it works very much like the cell phone infrastructure. And so when we work with publishers, we really tell them and try and give them a sense of what the entire ecosystem looks like, because if 64% are using more time reading high-end content, highly aesthetic content, this is content that is, as oftentimes can be, very bandwidth hungry. And so these are the type of things that we say to publishers, keep this in mind as this reading revolution happens. One more point on reading and devices. I mentioned earlier that there's going to be a multitude of devices that are going to come out, form factors that we haven't even considered. And I think that that goes across the board, not only in the consumer space, but in the educational space. We're seeing a huge uptick in content that's going to entire school districts that really talk about exclusive devices, purpose-built devices, and what the academia groups are telling us is that they see iPads really more as, of course, beautiful, wonderful devices, but really more as toys. And what they want the reading in this reading revolution is for devices that aren't going to require 40 laptops or 40 tablets, as it were, with 40 connections and multiple surge protectors in the classroom. That's power off the grid. So when Qualcomm thinks about how can we enable a reading revolution, we can enable it by rolling out a very low-power green display that requires, that just sips energy, but build them in purpose-built devices for students that really enables reading. And so content that your children may have brought home in a paperback way, that's starting to evolve too, and publishers need to think about what play does my content have in the educational space, what play does my content have in a video way, as these devices that are rolling out of naturally are enabled by video and color. And those are the types of things that we have to think about in the reading revolution.
Yeah, and I love that. I know my little girl is 8 years old, and she loves the National Geographic digital version of the magazine because it gives her beautiful pictures of animals, what she loves, but it also includes a lot of video features. And she will actually take my iPad to school and use National Geographic's latest issue as her show and tell. But, you know, you're absolutely right. The drain on power that it takes is something that we all need to consider, and how kids are using it in the classroom is absolutely key. And I think, you know, for the second half of this webinar, and then we'll certainly take a lot of questions from all of you, so keep sending them in, is, you know, how does all this insight relate to you? We've talked a lot about the fact that, you know, this is the very, very early stages of a digital reading revolution, that it's not necessarily just going to be about the content that's going to drive you to success next year or 3 years later. It's going to be about a unique combination of the content, the devices that your consumers are actually moving towards purchasing and using, and then as well as the capabilities of the devices that they're using as it relates to the ability to see it outside in bright sunlight, or the need for recharging a battery or recharging something in it less than every 6 hours. So the second half of this is really meant to talk about some of the short-term initiatives and questions and solutions, and some of the more mid-term and longer-term opportunities that we should all be considering that you might not hear in other places. And I think, you know, you can hear all about a number of things in other webinars or at other events, but when it comes down to what Cheryl and I call the trifecta of stickiness, you know, it is more than just looking at a great user experience in the short term. It's about content management, it's about content enhancement, and content connections. And I just wanted to talk for a few seconds on content management, and Cheryl can talk about enhancement and connections, but from the very beginning of my days at Zinio, which was about 3.5 years ago, whenever we asked people about what was driving them to read digitally, the answer was never price. The answer, you know, occasionally was sustainability and environmental, you know, opportunities, and in certain cases it was access, but it was always, always, always about content management, and that was pre-iPad, if there was a day pre-iPad. It was even, you know, in some cases at the early days of Flash, but what people tend to love about digital magazine content, as well as digital book content or any type of digital content, is once they buy it, they can manage it. They can decide where to save it, how to save it, when to access it, and digital just makes it a lot easier. You can have a stack of magazines in your office that you always intend to go back and look at, or a stack of business journals in your office that you know you can remember seeing a great chart from, but you can't find the existing page. But digital makes it that much easier. And whether it's B2C or B2B, we're finding that the benefits of getting access to a year worth of the best recipes that you can use a search button to look for chicken or fish or steak in is many times more beneficial in the consumer's mindset than, you know, actually seeing some of the bells and whistles that we're focusing on. So it doesn't always have to be a very high-cost solution to engage people in these early days of digital reading. And Cheryl, I don't know what you want to talk about with content connections and enhancement, but those are definitely valuable as well.
Yeah, they certainly are. And I think if allow me a moment to kind of step back and say, if we looked about how we typically get information before the age of tablets, and really even before everyone had a handset, is the broadcast model. And using the term broadcast just in the original days of agriculture, where you threw seeds out and you broadcasted this, and that's what propagated, right? And so broadcast in the sense of broadcast network, CBS, ABC, and so forth, it was a one-way communication channel. We have a fundamental paradigm shift in the way that we receive information today, and rather than one connection going out to millions of people, it's millions of people, millions of connections rather, going to one person. And it's certainly that is going to continue to be the case. And, you know, to be real, it's not really going to be 1 million connections, but it's really going to be about 5 connections. It's the connections to the tablets, to the e-readers, and there are customers that have both of those. There's the handset itself, there's the laptop, there's the connectivity, the Bluetooth in your car, and it's multiple connections. if your content can't live in that infrastructure, it will never make it to the consumer. And the consumer is really, as this group very well knows, is the one that's really going to be subsidizing that cost. So we have to make sure that the connections are shareable, or the content is shareable, that it can be forwarded, that you could add, that you could interact with it. And that really means you have to become a little bit of a technologist in this age. And just as Qualcomm has to get smarter about the pain points for publishers, publishers have to get smarter about the pain points for delivering content in this new digital era of multiple connections.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. And on this next slide, you know, what we've done at Vinio is trying to take a stab of looking at what the new conversion funnel looks like. And there's certainly too many circles here for everybody that's looking at this slide to digest them all. But, you know, essentially when you're talking about content, one of the things that a lot of times I see a lot of us failing to do, and, you know, I don't think that anybody is outside of the realm of this, but failing to understand all of the different entry points for digital content connections. And what I mean by that is, you know, the funnel used to be driven by some type of brand awareness, whether it was a billboard or a radio spot or a TV ad, and then you would, you know, go to a site, get more information, become engaged, and potentially make a purchase. And today, you know, instead of waiting until after the purchase is out and references and recommendations are being made positively or negatively, what we're seeing is a tremendous amount of discovery happening at various points of that traditional funnel. You might be on Facebook sending an email to your mom asking her why the heck it took her so long to get on Facebook when you get involved with reading a post that somebody else put on her wall about a product that you happen to need, which then takes you into a completely different entry point for discovery with a brand. So when we talk about content being available in all different connection points, we really do mean some type of entry point being accessible anywhere somebody could find out about your brand and start engaging with it. And that's huge. A lot of people see, you know, Twitter as an acquisition vehicle or more of a PR and branding vehicle, and it absolutely is. But if it can engage somebody who's, you know, looking for the latest history and information about where spaghetti was, you know, first invented, and there happens to be a link that engages somebody in a deep link of either a digital version of a magazine or even a digital version of your digital website, that starts to drive engagement that starts from the inside out. And this is going to be something that's going to be so critical for all publishers to start to understand is, you know, it's no longer about creating a product and then distributing it to the people that want it. It's about distributing that product and then understanding that, you know, at least 67%, if not more, of the people who are accessing it are going to be accessing it at various different entry points, table of contents, inside editions, photo galleries, video shows, and at different digital connection points. And knowing, you know, what that footprint looks like is really, really critical, because when it gets down to, you know, a customer experience standpoint, knowing not only the entry points of where they connect, is it through Facebook, is it through Foursquare, is it through Twitter, you know, is really important, but understanding what is the connection point and then what is the device that's demonstrating that connection point is critical. And I'll give you my short story about American Eagle, which I just found fascinating this weekend. I took my older daughter to a store, and we went to Urban Outfitters, and she couldn't find the shirt she wanted, and her friend at the store said, hey, American Eagle has that. So I took out my Android smartphone with a 4.5-inch screen, and I went to Google Maps, and I typed in American Eagle, and what I found in Google Maps was a message that said, if you come to American Eagle and shop today, we'll give you 20% off if you check in. It didn't say Foursquare or Places, so, of course, we used Google Maps to go to the American Eagle. We walk in, and while she's looking for a shirt, I'm trying to figure out how the heck to check in. Is it Foursquare or is it Places? So just so I can get this, you know, 20% off in case she wanted to buy something. So while I'm in the store, I'm checking in, and when I check in, I'm seeing highlights of photos of new stuff that's coming to the store in a very short time frame. So I'm being pre-sold on my second visit while I'm still getting ready to make my first purchase. And if, you know, you asked me about a retail strategy, and how to engage people, I would have never put together Foursquare, Facebook, Google Maps, an Android device, and an in-store experience at a general mall and considered that to be one user experience. But they all played a part, because if I wouldn't have had my smartphone with me, we would have looked up American Eagle on a GPS in the car, which absolutely wouldn't have had that communication opportunity from a content standpoint. So the way we think about all these touch points is really important. Powering it is the capability of the device that we're using. So when you're innovative and adaptive, you know, you look at different ways that people start to engage with their devices.
Yeah, no, that is really an amazing story, Jeannie, because isn't that the reality of it? We can't even, in our best mind's eye, plan out exactly how the consumer is going to engage, and that's a perfect example. And I think it speaks very much to this next slide about being innovative, being adaptive, and at the end of the day, just be open. There was someone who had asked a question about how do I do this without cannibalizing my print content, and I would say that to some extent that there's going to be changes that we're not all going to like, and if it means that your brand has to change a little bit, it is going to be for a bigger win, because then you're tapping into that huge audience that's enabled by a smartphone, as Jeannie was referencing. It is the pain of change, and I think that brand integrity should be preserved. This is highly curated content you're dealing with, but not to your detriment, right? And so let's really look at what percentage of my brand am I going to invest into innovative, open, adaptable, streamlined strategies that's actually going to help me long term. And that's really the key. And on the slide that that was up, I had just touch point, 55% say they're using their device in ways that they did not expect. So you got to be flexible and you have to be open. Earlier I had mentioned this dynamic of broadcast, where we are, and to segue into that, television certainly will diminish in favor of immediate content. We know this already. The cable companies know this already, and it really is about strategizing content for the device that is persistent and consistent and is always with us. The one device that I know everyone on this call will turn their car back around or return in some way, you'll go back home to get your phone. Because that's how we stay connected, not only by voice, but by social media and every other way. This is critically key to the next evolution of content in the reading revolution. How does it live on that connected device? Tablets, e-readers, and ultimately at the end of the day, smartphone and what's now being coined as superphones. These are phones that have 1 gigahertz processors and beyond, right? And so it really is about how are you living on those devices of the future?
Yeah, and I think, you know, to that point, it's a lot about exactly what you said, how are you living on those devices? And, you know, with email marketing, what we saw was something that started as a novelty actually become a part of your life. And I don't know that there's anybody on this webinar who will not admit that they use email as a way to manage their life, whether it's incoming and outgoing communications, whether it's calendars, whether it's personal schedules, you know, whatever it is, something that was a novelty technology that certainly had marketing prowess and brand building capability is now a personal part of our life, and we all use email differently to manage our daily workflow. We're starting to see the same thing with digital devices, and it's less about, you know, do I have the latest device because it's the hottest device and I just need to have it because I need to have it? You know, like a gaming machine would be like a PlayStation or something like that. It's more about, you know, these devices that I have, how do they help make my life better? How do they entertain me while I'm waiting, but how do they help me to get my job done more efficiently? And Cheryl, you sent this slide, which was awesome, and it's from the Daily Virgin Atlantic, and, you know, it's got this phenomenal tagline, you know, has your airline got it? Your airline's either got it or they don't. And, you know, it's really about the realization that as a frequent business traveler, you need to be connected wherever you are. You need to have access, and it needs to be both business-oriented and both entertaining. And I just love that because it points to something that's very real, which is personal preferences. And what we're finding at Zinio quite frequently is that adoption, as I'd mentioned before, is not as much about broad appeal, in certain cases it is, as it is about personal preferences. And this is a screenshot from, you know, an upcoming launch that we're doing in our Explore category or featured content section, where people now have the choice to choose what content they're most interested in from a reading standpoint. So if they're in a distribution app like Zinio, that they're able to start to say, I'm in this app because I love reading, but I don't love reading everything. I'm really interested in art and entertainment, you know, and home more so than, you know, men or sports or automotive. And we're going to start to see more of that. It is going to become that one-to-one segmentation, you know, coming in from a one-to-many approach.
Yeah, that's very, very cool, Jeannie. And I just wanted to make one comment on that daily slide. The comment is really, it's not obviously the publishing community is compelled to learn more about changing, but this is also about advertising as well. And I thought this was a perfect example of how advertising living up to the promise of the format or living up to the promise of the device, integrated video, interactivity, actually being able to book the ticket, seeing your seat assignment, looking at the back-end metrics as well, and also embedded within a news publication. So I thought it was an excellent example. Is it perfect? No, it's not. But it's cool to see some of the first entrants in this category in the advertising space making some pretty nice strides in this area, and I think this space will evolve as well on the advertising front.
Oh, absolutely, and we see that now. You know, we see a number of the cutting-edge and innovative advertisers looking for new ways to do things that are more interactive and connect with people. And, you know, to that whole American Eagle example that I gave, there's no reason why that whole experience couldn't be embedded in an American Eagle ad that sits in somebody's content. I mean, it's very easy, if you're flipping through a digital magazine connected to some sort of internet access, to be able to, you know, click on a button and see what the geolocation looks like and then be able to find out what discounts based on how far away you are. There's this unlimited potential that's coming out from that. And what's great about that is advertisers get to engage at a completely different level with readers of their advertisements than they had in the past, because now it's about personal preferences. And as we get into personal preferences, even people who are looking for content can start to engage differently. And, you know, this is an example of an article that's in Elle called Easy Riders, which isn't traditionally about the type of content that you would see in an issue of Elle. But if you're flipping through Zinio and you see this, you have the opportunity to read this article. You may have gotten interested in this article because you did a search for, you know, leather, or which you would have never necessarily considered was within Elle. But now you're exposed to the article, and you're going to be able to take a step back and get exposed to the brand. And if you really love what you see, then what you're going to be able to do, you know, and what you can do in many cases right now is to share that article via social networks. So again, if I share that article on my social networks and it's on Facebook, Cheryl may not be familiar with Elle at all or think that that's not the right magazine for her, but is very interested in this content and starts to take a look at Elle because it exposed her to new content from the inside out. And I think that inside out, upside down kind of funnel approach is really, you know, what we're going to be able to do now that we have access to all these devices and digital capabilities that are going to take us to the next level. And at the end of the day, everything that we're doing gets us a direct path, not just to one consumer or five consumers, but to the entire American household. And Cheryl, I know you've got like phenomenal comments on this slide, so I'll let you talk about, you know, all of this slide.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. And Jeannie, and you're right. It's a direct path straight to the front door of the American household, wherever they are. whether they're in their car, wherever their location, and that really is the complement of full connectivity. Folks really are very amenable to having this type of content. There's a demand for it, there's an expectation for it, and as we've said earlier, this is not a completely evolved space. There's still room for opportunity, but this is really encouraging information when you see that 78% would love to be able to purchase directly from a magazine. That's pretty phenomenal stuff. And then the other data points here too, personal information, willingness to pay on an advertising front, and to sell their information. Maybe a little less, they're a little less interested in that. But certainly this is the kind of information we've not seen before, and I think this is where the return on investment starts to happen for publishers. This is where the focus needs to be.
Oh, totally. And, you know, it's just very exciting that, you know, it's just the beginning of the device and the content engagement, but it's really, I think, probably almost not even the beginning for conversations around the distribution strategy as it relates to bandwidth and battery life, which is so great as to where Qualcomm is going in this space, because now that people, reaching the household means exactly what you said, reaching the household wherever people are, it starts to change the picture quite significantly.
Yeah, it really does. And what we found from this study, which was so encouraging, it's a glass half full, so to speak. 78% of the publishers do not have a direct connection to carriers or anyone or an operator that's really going to help them connect to the smartphone. And even if they did, to be quite honest, there has to be a defined infrastructure and architecture to be able to negotiate that content and manage that content. We think Zinio does an excellent job at that. From a Qualcomm global point of view and with handsets, what we're not suggesting is that we go and aggregate your content for you, but what we are suggesting is that you find a content strategist, you get someone on your staff that speaks and understands telecom and the sensitivities there to the extent that you want to and that you're interested. This program that we have through Qualcomm and the publisher relations really helps you understand all of the technologies that exist under the Qualcomm moniker over 60,000 patents that we have, everything from augmented reality to multiple ways to communicate information to the display technology space, to chipset technology space. Every single one of those applies to content and customizing your content, and I believe publishers really need to advance the vernacular in terms of technology, and at the same time, companies that are innovative and forward-looking like Qualcomm, we're trying to also understand what publishers need and their sensitivities are, so we can really bring together two very cool industries that I believe desperately need each other. A device without a content strategy might as well be a doorstop. They don't sell, and these content strategies are happening now. So we'd love to work with any of you that have questions to that end.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's funny because with Zinio, our device agnostic strategy has us pre-installed on certain devices as they come to market, which is awesome and amazing. And we've had some relationships with mobile network operators and original equipment manufacturers who have done pre-installs with us and a tremendous amount of marketing. And everybody gets very excited, the publishers inside, the advertisers sponsoring content, you know, Zinio as a distribution channel, a lot of our customers, and then the device review comes out, and the device gets, dinged in a few key places for a review, like a screen display or battery life, and the device sales all of a sudden don't meet the expectations, and you've got all these high hopes that were really impacted by the equity of a device, which, you know, at this point, time is so critical to the consumer, and none of us that are providing the content to the devices have control over other than the device manufacturer itself. So, you know, it's a very, very interesting time where you've got to understand the content and the consumer as well as the devices and the inherent challenges and risks that are associated with them, because, you know, at the end of the day, and then the last slide that Cheryl and I have before we get into questions, you know, your readers are waiting. They're spending time waiting all over the world. While they're waiting, they have a variety of different devices that they've integrated into managing their life in a different way, and they would absolutely love to, you know, be entertained and educated with the content and information that you all have to share with them. It's just a matter of figuring out how to get there and then how to, you know, keep that conversation going. And I know there are a good number of questions, so I'm going to just ask one more time. If you haven't had a chance to do so already, please feel free to submit a question and use the Ask a Question box on your console. And I think then, you know, we can go into a few questions on this. Great. So Cheryl, there's a great question in here that you know, I think you would be poised to answer. You know, and that talks to the fact that in one of our slides we talked about you know, a graph showing that in 2 to 3 years from now, 14% of the people surveyed said they were going to acquire a tablet versus 9% for an e-reader. But then again, on the next slide, you know, we talked about everybody and their brother, you know, and even potentially some of our pets were going to have some type of digital device. So, you know, do you want to talk about the discrepancy of the superphones and smartphones, maybe filling that gap?
Yeah, sure. I'll have to go back to the slide and take a look at it really quickly to make sure that I'm reading this correctly. But yeah, I think in the net is that the opportunity is huge. I think one thing that we were surprised to see in this slide is the dual ownership of e-readers and tablets. Many folks that are doing both of these things simultaneously. So we thought that was actually quite interesting. But collectively, the entire market itself, the early adopters. And I'll try and clarify, and if the question asker would like to you know, jump in and put a point on exactly what you need me to ask, respond to, I certainly can do that. But early adopters in aggregate represent nearly 14 million. And then the opportunity that we're really seeing is more in the 200 million. So the majority of this is happening in the 2013 timeframe. And I believe that in that time, that there will be devices that we haven't even, form factors that we haven't even fully thought of, but we're looking at connectivity, everything from wireless pet tags to everything that you can think of. And so the connectivity is really unlimited.
Yeah, and Cheryl, there was another question about devices that are being used in Asia and Europe right now. Are they the same devices growing in popularity as in America? And I can answer after you do. I think you'll give a great answer from an actual technology standpoint.
Yeah, you know, that is a great question. And we do, as a global company, really look at the emerging markets in India and China. And I'll speak specifically to China. They're at least two paces behind the United States in terms of e-reader / tablet development. There's a handful of electrophoretic or e-ink-enabled devices that are out there. And, again, they're struggling with content strategies. Apple has just made their entry into that market. It's very early days there, but it's even more of the Wild West in Asia in terms of the publisher strategies than it is here in the U.S. We certainly are leading the pack in terms of innovation in advertising and marketing. And on the handset side, the handsets are certainly very evolved, but again, in terms of how this relates to the publisher, I believe that's another enormous opportunity when you think about your global strategies as a market that's even a couple of years behind the U.S. market.
Yeah, and I'll tag on to that from a content purchasing standpoint because, you know, at Zinio we have 3,500 different magazine titles representing, you know, over 204 countries from around the world. And what's really, really interesting is to look at two different things from a content standpoint. One is the actual plethora of content that there is around any specific passion or category. And then two is the opportunity to increase sales and distribution just by by making your content available to people that are outside of the country that the content is published in. And interestingly, this also applies to advertisers as well. And the example I'll use is golfing. You know, we were talking to a magazine in the golf category that was interested in starting to do something digitally, and when they were asking about what other people were doing, we typed in golf on Zinio, we came up with 85 different magazines that were about golfing from around the world. Many different languages, many different versions, but you know, a very interesting take on what's coming out there, which led us to do an interesting test and say, you know, anyone who's a golf enthusiast, just take a look at our offering and let us know what your thoughts are. Not from a sales standpoint, we were really curious from, you know, from a survey standpoint, and what we found was overwhelmingly, you know, over 47% of the people that took the survey came back and said, oh my God, I've just identified three magazines or more that I've never heard of before, but do such a great job of talking about golf that I've bought at least one of them, which is pretty amazing. So I think exploration of content and availability of content on a global standpoint starts to break down the barriers and starts to open up a tremendous amount of revenue opportunities to start to upsell and cross-sell content. Now, when you're looking at advertising, if you're looking at, you know, endemic categories or even non-endemic, somebody who's selling golf clubs to somebody in London is probably going to be looking at the same types of golf clubs as somebody in Mississippi. So you do get that kind of global capability to reach people who are interested in different categories and start to build off a passion. So, you know, we certainly see from, you know, an international standpoint, access to digital content is huge. The other benefit is in most countries, the U.S. price of most publishing or published content is significantly lower than content that's available in those local countries. So being able to get, you know, Car and Driver for $8 for a year, in U.S. dollars, if you live in Europe, and that makes it even less than $8 when you're spending euros. It's about, you know, 6 euros, which is a steal compared to an auto magazine in Spain, which might cost, you know, 37 euros for a year. So there's a lot of benefits from an international standpoint, and, you know, we really think that the international markets, as Cheryl said, might not necessarily be where the Americas are right now, but they're certainly growing and exploding. And I think, you know, to that, there was a question about, do you think eZines will eventually phase out print magazines? And, you know, and there's another question that's associated with that. Is the trend right now to sell just digital or digital and print combined? And I think that, you know, we are still definitely a few years away from any type of consolidation in the marketplace that will kill off one channel versus another. And when I say a few, I mean 10 to 15. But it really depends on the type of content and the initiative for it. Right now, what we see is pretty significant shifts in consumer merchandising trends from a consumer expectation standpoint about every 18 months. So about every 18 months, consumers decide they want to start doing something differently. Right now, consumers are, you know, happy with buying print and then going and paying a second time to get digital, but are starting to really clamor for, if I bought one, whether it's digital or print, I want the other one for free. So there is a lot of conversation with publishers in making that cross-channel accessibility to make it a truly unified experience. And I think at Zinio we've got about 110 publishers that do bundle print and digital together, which, you know, has shown some phenomenal results. You know, at the point, the target point for adoption of digital over print varies significantly based on the industry. You know, you will start to see some industries consolidate faster than others, but in other industries and high end, certainly the print will still stay in place. And Drew, I don't know how we're doing on time. We've got about 3 minutes left.
We've got
a
couple minutes left. So if you have another question you'd like to fill, or we can wrap up now, whatever you'd like to do.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of questions here that have been asked, and you know, what I would say is, after, if you have any other questions, take a minute to submit them, because after this webinar, Cheryl and I will go through the remaining questions, and we will answer anybody's questions that we didn't get to answer on you know, on this webinar today, because there's some really, really phenomenal questions here.
Well, thank you very much, Jeannie and Cheryl, for some phenomenal content today. And I just wanted to let everyone know on behalf of Zinio and the Target Marketing Group Publications, I wanted to thank you for attending today's webinar. Please be sure to check out our webinar pages to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. And if you could just take a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next, we'd be very grateful. That will really help us in providing some great content in the future for you. And I certainly hope to see everyone at the next Target Marketing Group webinar. Thanks so much.